Welcome to Journal Club for January 21st, 2025. I'm Malcolm Diggs. In the United States alone, there are around 300,000 new cases of breast cancer diagnosed every year. Roughly 1 in 8 women will develop breast cancer at some point in their lifetime. And while a diagnosis is obviously devastating, the earlier it's made in the cancer growth cycle, the better the patient's chances of beating it and making some kind of recovery. So while these diagnostic numbers are terrifying, it's worth remembering that there are also 4 million breast cancer survivors living in the US, and that's a testament to how effective treatment regimens can be, especially when the cancer is caught early. This is part of why both self-examinations and regular clinical screenings are so important. If during a screening, your doctor finds an area that they want to take a tissue sample from, a biopsy, one of the techniques or processes that they might use to analyze it is called histopathology. A microscope or a digital pathology scanner will take high-resolution images of the tissue sample, and then the doctor will analyze these images for traces of cancer. This kind of analysis is, in many cases, a manual task. A doctor is physically examining and scrutinizing these images for patterns and markers that look to them like potentially cancerous growths. This is where today's paper comes in. I don't believe that the authors are advocating for a full automation of this process. The doctor's expertise and opinion is still the most important thing here, but they are attempting to build a system that can look at these images and generate a second opinion programmatically. It's a computer vision system partially based on vision transformers and partially based on convolutional neural networks. It is trained on thousands of labeled images and can quickly classify an image as benign or malignant. In order to understand what this system is trying to detect, we need to start by getting some background on what breast cancer is and how it physically manifests and grows. Then we'll turn to the vision transformer architecture and learn how this system processes visual inputs and performs classification. And lastly, we're going to look at how they trained their model, how they evaluated it, and the results they've obtained so far. Let's get into it. The cells in your body are dividing and replicating all the time. But if the DNA in a cell gets mutated, it can cause issues. Mutations in oncogenes can lead to uncontrolled or excessive cell growth, while mutations in tumor suppressor genes can prevent cells from regulating growth and undergoing apoptosis, that's programmed cell death. When these things happen, the cell can divide uncontrollably, leading to a population of cells with the same mutation. In certain types of tissues, like breast tissues, this can form a mass and/or tumors. But importantly, not all tumors are cancerous, and this is where the labels malignant and benign come in. Benign tumors are non-cancerous growths that do not invade nearby tissues or spread to other parts of the body, though they may still require monitoring or removal. Malignant tumors, on the other hand, are cancerous and have the potential to invade surrounding tissues and metastasize to distant organs. Generally, when we say someone has cancer, we are saying that they have a malignancy. Breast cancer refers specifically to malignancies that originate from the breast tissue. Breast cancer typically originates in the cells lining the milk ducts, that's ductal carcinoma, or the lobules that produce milk, that's lobular carcinoma. That being said, it can also arise from other structures within the breast. As the cells multiply, they form a mass or a lump, which in its earliest stages may not present any noticeable symptoms, but it can quickly progress through several phases. The initiation phase, during which genetic mutations accumulate within a single cell, leading to abnormal growth. The promotion phase, where these mutated cells begin to divide more rapidly, forming localized lesions within the breast tissue. And then the progression phase, during which the cells gain the ability to invade surrounding tissues and spread beyond the breast. At this stage, the tumor can penetrate what's called the basement membrane, and this allows cancerous cells to infiltrate nearby lymph nodes and eventually enter the bloodstream. That's metastasis, and early screening is all about preventing and avoiding that. You've probably heard of cancer referred to in stages, not phases. That's another classification regime called the TNM system. T is for tumor. It describes the size and extent of the primary tumor. N is for nodes. It indicates whether the cancer has spread to nearby lymph nodes. And M is for metastasis. It indicates whether the cancer has spread to distant parts of the body. These three data points combine to determine if the patient is stage 0, 1, 2, 3, or 4. So, how do we catch malignant growths early? Through regular screenings. Generally, it is recommended that women begin having annual mammograms, which is basically just a low-dose x-ray of the breast tissue, starting at age 40. Women at higher risk may start earlier, but regardless of age, all women are encouraged to perform monthly self-examinations and schedule regular clinical breast exams with their healthcare provider to detect any changes as early as possible. At any time, any of these types of diagnostics could reveal a suspicious abnormality. When this happens, the doctor will usually order additional imaging techniques to gain a clearer picture of the suspicious area. Based on those results and the clinical presentation, they may then order a biopsy to obtain a sample for histopathological examination. In a biopsy, a small piece of tissue is extracted from the breast to be examined. Once the tissue is collected, it is sent to the pathology lab, where it undergoes processing, staining, and then evaluation by a pathologist. In that evaluation, the pathologist is looking for distinct cellular features that indicate the presence and type of breast cancer. They examine cell morphology, including size, shape, and organization, as well as patterns of tissue architecture that may reveal abnormalities. This could be increased nuclear size, irregular borders, and abnormal mitosis. They also look at the staining characteristics that highlight specific components. They look for signs of invasion, lymphovascular involvement, and the presence of biomarkers like certain proteins. All of these contribute to determining if the growth is malignant, and if so, the cancer's subtype and potential aggressiveness. The system that's described in this paper is designed to replicate and enhance this process. It breaks the image down into smaller patches, analyzes each patch individually, and then synthesizes the information across the entire image to detect patterns that are indicative of cancer. As I mentioned earlier, their system is a hybrid deep learning architecture that combines the strength of convolutional neural networks and vision transformers. As we've already talked about CNNs quite a bit on other episodes, let's focus on the vision transformer today. The vision transformer, or VIT, processes images as a sequence of non-overlapping patches rather than pixel arrays. Unlike CNNs, which rely on local receptive fields and weight sharing, VITs divide an image up and then convert the pieces into flattened feature vectors. These vectors are then passed through an embedding layer that encodes the positional information to maintain spatial context. The core of the architecture is a multi-head self-attention mechanism, which allows the model to attend to different regions of the image simultaneously. Since it's a transformer, it's able to capture complex relationships between distant regions of the tissue sample that may not be immediately adjacent, but are diagnostically significant. Each transformer layer applies self-attention operations followed by normalization and feed-forward layers to refine the feature representation. What really sets VIT apart from traditional CNNs is its ability to capture global dependencies without the spatial constraints that are imposed by convolutional filters. CNNs are inherently limited in their ability to recognize long-range patterns without deeper architectures. This means that they can struggle to capture subtle, complex relationships in an image. But since VITs analyze the entire image and weigh the importance of each patch relative to others, they're able to get a more comprehensive understanding of the overall tissue structure. That being said, VITs are computationally intensive and require large datasets. This is why the system in this paper, the thing that they're calling the token mixer, is a hybrid. It incorporates convolutional layers at the early stages to efficiently pre-process the images. The CNN extracts local features and reduces the dimensionality of input patches before it ever makes it to the VIT. The hybridization is designed to not only reduce the computational burden, but also enhance the overall accuracy. The question is, does it? Does it perform better than the alternatives? To test this idea, they needed to train the model and then put it through a battery. They sourced their training data from the BreakHIS dataset, which contains almost 8,000 images, roughly 2,500 are benign and 5,500 are malignant. They split the dataset into 80% training and 20% for validation and testing. They used the Atom Optimizer with cross-entropy loss for training, using a batch size of 32 and running the models for 100 epochs. To evaluate the performance, they decided to use accuracy, precision, sensitivity, aka recall, specificity, F1 score, and the AUC for the ROC. They did all of this across multiple magnification levels and then compared the results with a standalone VIT, a standalone CNN, and other models. So, how did it do? Well, there's good news and there's bad news. The good news? For many binary classifications, that's malignant versus benign, it had accuracy around 90% or better, which was competitive with other options. The bad news? It did not consistently outperform the traditional CNNs. So this hybrid approach introduced additional complexity without delivering a clear performance advantage. The model's effectiveness also varied across different magnification levels, which may indicate issues in generalizing its performance. Overall, while the token mixer model offers an interesting mashup, the results suggest that the expected benefits aren't quite there yet. Overall, I'd say that this new style has more promise and potential than anything else. Hopefully the authors will continue to develop it and improve on it, and who knows where it'll be in the coming months and years. But if you'd like to dive deeper into their methodology or get links to their GitHub, I'd recommend that you download the paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Digg signing off. See you tomorrow.